You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm wondering if Greeny was hurting himself, patting himself on the back this morning about his Lakers take from last week. I told you!
Oh.
I told you they needed to shut it down in the play-in game so that they wouldn't get the Nuggets.
The old self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Listen, the man's a master. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Yep.
He came up with a clever idea, and then he figured out how to get more mileage out of it than anything anyone else has done in a long time. I applaud it. I applaud it.
Well done. Well done.
It's the slow clap.
Yes.
Way to go, Greeny.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. Once again, bringing all kinds of wonderful credibility to our medium.
This is supposed to be the fun medium, though. We should be able
I'm jealous of the fact that he came up with it because it is brilliant. And it is. I told you, you can't. That's a Greeny can't lose take. That's a Greeny can't lose take.
Well, look, I tried so hard in the meeting this morning to be like, hey, did anyone see that report from Antonio Brown who said the Chargers were going to trade Herbert to the Vikings so they could draft McCarthy? I was interested in diving in, and Everyone's like, Antonio Brown, I don't know about that. Well, not really going to slot that one in, Fortinball, but thanks for showing up to the meeting.
Next thing you know, Thursday night, all of a sudden, Herbert's a Viking.
It would be incredible.
It would be amazing. And then watch Harbaugh pass on McCarthy. It's
I took the bait for about 3.5 seconds. I was like, wait a minute, really? That is Harbaugh really does love McCarthy. And you'd get him at a cheap price. You'd free up some salary cap space. And then I was like, wait a minute, where'd this story come from? And I looked and it was like, oh, it's Antonio Brown. I was like, the Antonio Brown? The guy last time I saw him in the NFL, he's running off the field during the game with his shirt off and he jumped in an Uber and went to the airport. It's like, yeah, that guy.
Noted insider.
I'm like, all right, well, I mean, I've taken, you know, political news from Les, so maybe I'll roll with this.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. The Nuggets just beat the daylights out of the Lakers in game one. It looked nicer than it was at 114-103, but it's their ninth straight win over the Lakers. And when I say beat the daylights out, yeah, the Lakers were in the game, but this is exactly what the script has been all along. The Lakers couldn't do anything to change their script against the Denver Nuggets, right? It's we can look make it look like it's going to be close for a bit, but their team, follow me here for a second. Their team is better than our team. And ultimately, the better team, more often than not, is going to win. They are now 11-1 over their last two postseasons at home.
This series is over. It's not meant to be like some big radio thing like, oh, can you believe, you know, Carlin and Joe were saying it's over. Like, you're going to go win four of the next six against Denver. How exactly do you plan on doing that? The Lakers played well in game one. They played well in game one. They held the Nuggets to 46% from the field, 35% from deep, only 6 free throw attempts. The Nuggets had 6 free throw attempts. They've now played 83 games this season. That is the fewest amount of free throw attempts they've had all year. And the Lakers still lost by 11. Like, they came out rested. They blitzed the Nuggets early in that game. And they looked really good in the process. LeBron looked good. AD looked good. They were playing very well. But this isn't an anti-LeBron or an anti-Lakers take. The Nuggets are just that good. The Nuggets never panicked. They never lost sight of who they were. The crowd got quiet, but the Nuggets just kind of figured out, look, we'll get back in this. Let's run it through Jokic. There was a timeout in the second quarter where there was just this brilliant run they were on, and then the Lakers call a timeout, and the Nuggets come out, and they go right to Jokic, and they get a bucket from him. He hadn't scored in a while. They just knew how to play it. They look like a team with the championship medal because they have the championship medal. They never let anything overwhelm them, and then they dusted the Lakers in the second half. And I think they come out tonight, and they dust the Lakers again.
It's amazing when you think back a couple of years. All we would say about Jokic is, yeah, but they can't win the championship. Yeah, but they can't win in the postseason consistently. You know what it makes me think of? And I always look for this more so now. I did before, but more so now because of you. They remind me all the time of a team that just has an incredibly slow heartbeat. You know, everything is just very even keeled across the board. And the way they handle their business on the court makes it look like they are never out of any sort of control of the game. Even if the game is getting closer, the Nuggets are in control of the game and are not in any, like, I can't remember the last time I watched them play a game and saw them, you know, make panicky moves, you know, bad turnovers in bad spots, that kind of thing. And that's what always, you always talk about that. Who is able to calm themselves down in the crunch time moments, in the games that they have to have, and treat it accordingly and execute. And that's what that team does.
So often we get caught up because when we see greatness, we remember the moments of the game-winning buzzer beater, the Adam Vinatieri field goal to win the Super Bowl, right? Like all these key moments where someone, the kick six, Auburn, Alabama, all these big-time moments where someone went out and won the game. So often it's about being good enough to just not lose the game. Like the Patriots talked about that for years. They were just really good at making fewer mistakes than everybody else. It wasn't that they made so many more big explosive plays or just dominated you just over the course of 60 minutes. They were just very good at not making big self-inflicted mistakes. And that's what Denver is. Denver just goes out, they handle their business, they know over the course of 48 minutes, they're better than you. And this is what it takes to build a championship team. This is why I'm always railing on the fact that our all-star teams are not going to go out and win championships. You got to build a team. Jokic was drafted in what? Like 2014. Jamal Murray comes along a couple years later in 2016. You've got this core under Mike Malone who they weren't shuffling coaches in and out. Malone's been there for a while. And as the team rises and they get some playoff experience, but they come up short, they identify their needs and they realize a guy like Aaron Gordon would be a perfect fit for them. So they make a move to bring a guy in. Just like the Bucks made that move to bring in Jrue Holiday to put them over the top. Build well, assemble the team, get some experience, have consistency at the coaching position, make a move or two in free agency to round everything out, and then you're going to be ready to go make it rain. The problem is that with technology now, none of us has any patience. Like we 2007, the iPhone comes out, RIP boredom. No one's ever bored now. So everyone expects everything to happen overnight. You need to win immediately, and if not, fire everybody, cut everybody, rebuild the whole thing. Often, if you're going to win a championship, it's a long process. And that's what Denver's showing you. They didn't just come out of nowhere. They're just winning now. So it looks like to some as if it's some big thing that just recently happened. It's a painstaking process that's a decade in the making. And now reaping what they sow or enjoying the fruits of their labors. That's what I think I want.
All those things.
Really didn't stick the landing there. That would have been nice to do that, but so be it. It's money.
You know, just say it with confidence. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
That's true.
That's the way I handle my business. Here's Michael Malone and kind of delivering the idea of what you're talking about in the process. And we're not going anywhere at all.
We're not going anywhere. I mean, like, this is the playoffs. No team in the playoffs is going to, you know, if you get down 12 early, you're not going to just, you know, take your ball and go home. You know, we still have plenty of fight left in us, and we know that we were better than that we were playing early. And, you know, that's a good team over there, obviously. They came into the playoffs playing extremely well, and they showed it. And LeBron was on course. I thought he's about to have 50 points tonight. They're going to make adjustments. We'll have to watch the film, see what we can do better. And this is going to be a hell of a series moving forward.
But, like, I don't even think about the Nuggets being able to be a team right now that can tighten up in those moments, even when they're down early and they're down big in a game. Like, again, never felt like they were out of control of the game.
No, never. I would say this, the crowd kind of went real silent on them. Like, yeah. They had the battle back without a whole lot of support of the crowd. I found that interesting as they were getting set to defend a title. You'd think the crowd would try to pick them up a little bit, but they did their thing. And I'm telling you, it's all Jokic. People get that. Murray looks so good right now.
He really does.
He looks like he is completely healthy. They were talking about it on the broadcast. In, out, the lateral quickness, the step back threes. He didn't make everything, but he is going to be he's going to have a 40-point night here in the near future. Just watch. He's getting the looks up. He looks fantastic. There's going to be a big night coming from Jamal Murray. I'd bet his over points prop tonight. I really would, because he's getting the looks. He just didn't get the shots to fall in that game on Saturday. They're going to fall at some point, and he's going to have a monster performance.
All right, now I got to look at that number.
It's not high. It's like 24.5. And he still had like 22, I think, on Saturday, and he took a ton of shots. He was just 9 of 26 or something. Anyone have the box score up? I looked all this up this morning because we're going to talk about it on ESPN Bet Live today. ESPN2, 5 p.m. Eastern. That's how you plug.
Love it. Love it. Meanwhile,
day betting alert.
We are about to get underway in the Bronx. It is the Yankees and the A's. First inning, we're going no run scored. Is that correct?
No run scored. It looks like we got someone on first. Boone's already out of his mind yelling at the umpire. He's out here going nuts.
Is it Angel or C.B. Buckner or who is it?
I don't know. He's old and he's thick. Boone is in his face right now.
Country Joe West?
This is nuts. What do we got? We got a runner on first?
Yeah, he's upset because Eustery Ruiz got hit with a curveball, but he's also half swung. And so he was chirping at the umpire, and I'm pretty sure a fan yelled something that he thought was from Boone, and then ejected him.
Boone's been run?
Yeah, but like...
That's not part of the handicap. It's Monday at 105. How are you getting run 5 minutes into a Monday 105 game against the A's?
Especially if the fan is the guy who said it and not Boone.
Like, he had just been warned, hey, stop talking about this. And then all of a sudden, Boone's like, I didn't say anything.
This is hilarious. Oh, you know what, though?
That's Hunter Wendelstad behind the plate.
Oh, well, there you go. He's got a quick
hilarious.
Trigger.
This You know there what, you though? Go. Every now and again, this is what Bobby Cox used to be famous for. Atlanta would be 10 up in August, and his team, he'd look down the bench, and they'd be up like 3-1 in a game, seventh inning, and he just didn't like the complacency. He didn't like the casual nature, and he'd intentionally get himself thrown out of a game just to light a fire under everyone and keep them on their toes. I used to love that about Bobby Cox.
That's tremendous. Bobby Cox was always fun to get watch toss, too.
Like, yeah. Get your money's worth out there. Boone got his money's worth here, it looks like.
You always have to. And Boone does, too, to give him credit. Boone absolutely goes after it. The whole savages in the box thing a few years ago. Oh, Boone absolutely gets his money's worth every time.
This is a great day betting alert game here. This is just complete chaos.
Day betting alert.
Okay, so no run scored first inning, under a half run, minus 115, Yankees, A's in the Bronx. We keep you updated on that. Hopefully you're on board with us. Now, we had a ton of questions coming into the playoffs. So how many were answered? It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Little double dipper here in the Sixers game tonight. We're going to make a first quarter bet on the Sixers. +1.5 points, -115. I want to play the Embiid minutes. I know he's dinged up, but the Embiid minutes are great. The non-Embiid minutes are terrible. Sixers were +14 against the Knicks and blew them out in the first quarter with Embiid on the court. He played all 12 minutes. He plays a lot of the first quarter. All right. Without him, they were -21. So given that you're in an 0-1 hole and the Knicks shot great from three-point range in that matchup over the weekend, I think there's going to be a little bit of regression there. I would go ahead and play the Sixers in the first quarter +1.5. I would also make a player prop bet here. Deuce McBride, under 8.5 points. Nice game one. I'm not necessarily sure I see that happening again. 21 points on 7 of 12 shooting, which is 58% from the floor. He was 71% from three-point range. He averages 8 points per game on the season. Like, there's going to be some regression there. So we're going to go ahead and make two plays on the Sixers game tonight. Sixers in the first quarter, +1.5, -115. Deuce McBride, under 8.5 points.
A huge night on the hardwood.
Up the floor, James hammers a right-hand dunk.
Let's get caught up with Carlin versus Joe's NBA to Z.
Yankees one on, one out. One on, one out. Bottom of the first inning as we play the under half run in the Yankees-A's game in the first inning.
Judge at the dish. This should be interesting. Nice little double play here to end it would be nice for us, but I'm not sure if that's in the cards.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We haven't added in a little bit, but we've got the playoffs. We're going to do a little different version of NBA to Z with our man, Evan Wilner, to host. Evan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I got some questions. You guys give me the answers. Carlin, what was the biggest surprise of the weekend in the NBA playoffs?
Biggest surprise of the weekend? I would probably say the Mavericks getting their doors blown off. I was surprised that that game was not close without Kawhi Leonard. You saw Luka go for 33, but he did it on 26 shots, and they also did not defend anywhere nearly as well as they have in recent weeks. People have told me I'm supposed to believe in how well the Mavericks are playing defensively. Maybe when you give up 18 out of 36 from three, that defense needs to tighten up a snug.
That's a good one. I think that caught a lot of people off guard, given all the money that was coming in on the Mavericks for the series and the game. I would say the Milwaukee Bucks. That, if you're the Pacers, that's as gutless as it gets, man. You got this matchup against the Bucks where there's no Giannis. The team's in free fall. People are questioning the coach. People are questioning the defense. Everything about it is a messy situation. You got a chance to go in there and steal game one and really send a message. And instead, Dame goes for 35 in the first half. You have no answers for him. Tyrese Halliburton, they couldn't get him going at all. It's as lethargic an effort as you'll see from a Pacers team that has had the stars line up for them to win this series. Very disappointed. That was a huge surprise. Not so much the win. Can we get two here? Let's get two. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo! Not doing play-by-play.
No, not at all. In and out. Aaron Judge hits into the double play, and that's it for the first inning. No runs between the A's and the Yanks. That's a day betting alert winner for the people.
That's right. You just try to not take Jaden Daniels second. You just try. Next.
Did you guys change your mind about any team after one game in the postseason, Joe?
A little bit. The Minnesota Timberwolves. And this is mostly an indictment of my poor thinking going into that series with Phoenix. I've liked Minnesota most of the year. I like teams that play good defense. In today's NBA, your offense is your floor. What do you have defensively that can put you over the top? And they've been number one in defensive rating pretty much all season long. But I got it in my head listening to so many people this week talking about Phoenix is a bad matchup for Minnesota. Phoenix is a terrible matchup. Minnesota could be in trouble. That I kind of moved off that position. Now, I'm not blaming those people. I'm blaming myself for not having conviction in the original assessment of the Timberwolves. And then I watched that game, and the T-Wolves look like a team with a lot of veteran savvy. They look like a team that's gotten knocked out of the playoffs before, and they decided they were going to lean on that experience and they were going to put it on the Suns. Anthony Edwards was awesome. The Minnesota defense was fantastic. I love seeing Edwards and Durant jawing at each other, all in good fun. That's what trash talk's all about. So I'm disappointed in myself that I kind of bailed on the Timberwolves there because they were fantastic in that game.
Nothing whatsoever changed in my mind. You got to do a whole lot more than win a game one in decisive fashion to change Chris Carlin's mind.
Oh, Chris Carlin's got nothing. Okay, interesting.
I have nothing, absolutely nothing there that changed my mind. Next.
All right, Carlin, what was the biggest overreaction from the weekend?
Oh, my dear God, the Knicks fans. Oh, my God. What a thorough embarrassment from this group. Now, look, I feel for them because it's been a long time. And I feel like a lot of this overreaction is coming from the generation that does not understand what Knicks basketball, when it wins, actually looks like. So I'll give them that. But they're outside the garden. It is basically a mob mentality outside the garden after they win a game one, Joe, and they are chanting, "We want Boston." Oh, my God. Shut up, people. Shut up. It is one game. This is like Isaiah Thomas when he was ready to drop the streamers from the ceiling saying, "Welcome to the playoffs." Oh, my God.
They're excited. How can they not be?
Be excited. Don't be stupid. How about that?
I liked it. I'm a Sixer fan. I mean, I hate watching the team go down like that, but playoff basketball is better when the Knicks are good. And it's great to see the Knicks, Madison Square Garden. They're in their full glory right now. So have at it. Enjoy. Biggest overreaction might be Greenberg this morning. Really, really continuing to lean into this idea that the Lakers should have dodged the Nuggets in the opening round because of what happened in game one. Like, yeah, they'd be better off if they weren't playing the Nuggets, but you're going to get the Nuggets at some point. Okay, enough with this. We should lose so that we can avoid the big bad wolf and get a better matchup. Like, the Knicks could have done that. They didn't, and they're up 1-0 on the Sixers. And you know what? If they end up dispatching the Sixers in this series, winning that 2 seed was huge because you won't have to deal with the Celtics in the next round, and that's the problem in the Eastern Conference, not the Sixers.
Next.
All right, last one. All the home teams won game one. Which road team is most likely to win their game two? Joe?
All the home teams won game one. Which road team likely to win game two?
Ooh. Most likely.
I think there's a few of them out there. I would probably point to... I'd say Dallas. Dallas will find a way to get it going on offense. But, I mean, you could just as easily say Indiana. Carlin, are you on one of those two? Phoenix? I mean, do you think Phoenix comes back?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think Phoenix comes back.
Or in terms of most likely.
I would probably agree with you, and I hate to be boring on that front. The only other thing that I could potentially look at would be tonight if Embiid is closer to health, healthy, and Maxey's fine with this illness. If that's the case, I could definitely see the Sixers winning game two.
Okay.
That's where we are. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. What a dismount there. I mean, that's where we are. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. Now, when you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, the screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Joseph, in just moments, we finally get to quash the whole controversy around Joe alt delete or Joe control alt delete. It wasn't built in a doomsday, as they say. The expert on creating nicknames weighs in on ours next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Joe Alt. I mean, the most obvious nickname of all time for an offensive lineman. He would be erasing defensive linemen from their pass rush. He would be Joe Control Alt Delete. What do we think? We don't like it?
What about just Joe Alt Delete? Cut it down a little bit.
And isn't it common form to say Control Alt Delete? Joe Alt Control Delete. You know, it feels.
Who was saying that?
I don't know. Me. Just
why would we change the order of the word?
Because the guy's last name is Alt.
Yeah,
so I want Joe that to be the first thing after Joe.
Control Alt Delete.
Control's not part of his name.
Part of the nickname. Are you new here? Is this too much for you? It feels like this is too much for you. We pitched something and then Evan chimed in and tried to find a way to make it better. You are just dragging it back down into the swamp. That's all you're doing. Joe Control Alt Delete. How about if it's Joe Alt Control Joe Alt? How's that sound, everybody?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, the fact that I said at the beginning, isn't it common form? As if I'm trying to bring you into some sort of classy language, like it's old English.
I understand if the proletariat doesn't get this, but isn't it common practice too? It's like, okay, here we go.
Well, when you need clarification on this kind of thing, there's only one place to go, and that's the guy who has done it all. In every single way, and that is Chris Berman, NFL studio host for ESPN. He is just the best, and he joins us right now. Boomer, it is Chris and Joe. We appreciate a few minutes. How you doing?
Fellas, happy draft week. Nice to talk with you, and apparently you got the check, so appreciate the plaudits.
First of all, draft week, do you your juices kind of always get going during the draft week?
Well, look, I did, well, in one shape or another, most of them, the main anchor, but that's neither here nor there. So 36 of them I was involved with, which wow. Is hard to believe, actually. That's a third of a century, right? So it's now been 6 or 7 years since I've done it, so I'm probably much less up on the players than you guys are because, you know, everybody, yeah, we have mock drafts now, which we didn't used to have. I don't mean that we did it blind in April of 1982, but, you know, you didn't have mock drafts in January. I'm not making fun of those. It's just, it was less bandied about. But come April, every year, it's like the bell rang, fellas. You know, whether you a football fan or those of us who are working on it. And it's like April 1st, you better get going because you remember in the day, we did the first three rounds. That was like 11 hours. It was like Jerry Lewis on a telethon, right? And, I mean, it was fun. I loved every minute of it because it, I mean, it was football. It's like an oasis. I'm going on and on here, but it was like an oasis. You know, you hadn't really delved into football for a while. Yeah, you follow the Jets or the Giants or wherever your heart may lie. But then it was, ooh, April. We're all talking football. And then back then, okay, quiet until training camps opened. And we didn't have coverage of OTAs in June. You know, it's really, and we didn't have drafts in front of 400,000 people, which, again, is unbelievable considering you're cheering for names or nicknames, apparently, is what you guys are doing. But, it, you know, when it was at Radio City, when we had graduated that far, I always thought that was cool. I love, you know, Radio City, say no more, right? Like, right. What a great place. You mean I'm kind of on the stage and Louis Armstrong was here? Really? Frank Sinatra was here? What am I? Ella Fitzgerald? What are we doing here? But that was really fun. And when they started getting it huge in front of plazas and this and that, that was about the time. Not the reason, but that was when I made a left-hand turn. So that's my usual three-minute answer for a 20-second question. well, see, I'm in draft mode. We got 11 hours, pal.
We got time to kill. So yeah. That's for sure.
Boom. Of all those drafts you were on the call for, does one stand out? Do you have one moment that just stands out when you look back on all of that? That really comes to mind.
Well, if it's one moment and it was a mishap, and I think well, you might, as soon as I get there, you may remember it. Because I'd never seen it, maybe once, but it was in the first round and Minnesota was late with the pick. Yep. I mean, so late that the bell doesn't ring. And so part of the rules, one of the things you do in a draft, if you're the next team or two, is you have a name in the card. It's like that's never used. Like, I'm ready to pick so-and-so. If this team doesn't make it, to hand the card, picking eighth, and I'm ninth. And I'm going to forget, Jacksonville was one of them. I think Baltimore was too. Two picks came flying up when they didn't make it. They, apparently Minnesota was finalizing a trade, right? But it wasn't done. And as soon as it was, the clocks ran out, I may have this slightly wrong, and I got to remember what year it was. And poor Dennis Green did analysis with us that year. And he was like, oh, my God, these are his guys. He didn't want to rat on anybody. I mean, yeah, but how can this happen, frankly? Like, we had months to know who we liked, right?
Yeah.
We got caught at a traffic light a block away from Radio City. What the hell happened? So so two teams came flying up like the 4x100, you know, Olympic race. And then Minnesota eventually made the pick. But I want to say, and I should have had this in front of me, but all three of those picked were pretty good players as time worked out. And I think Minnesota ended up getting, albeit in the 9 or the 10 slot instead of 8, if that's what it was. It was a NASCAR race with people who should not be driving race cars, if you know what I mean, jumping up from the phone with a card. And I didn't even know what to say. I've never seen this. You know, it's like bringing an umbrella when you go out to play golf. That ensures it's not going to rain. Like, you don't ever use it, right? So it was funny. That, I mean, now I should have a more unbelievable moment, but that was unique, you got to admit.
Oh, absolutely. Chris Berman with us.
Carlin, if I may jump in, I think we have the answer to the question. Boom, the Jaguars came flying up to draft Byron Leftwich.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
but then
who was next? I think Baltimore made it also.
Carolina came up and grabbed Jordan Gross, the offensive tackle from Utah.
Jordan Gross was a good player. It was Carolina. Yep. And then Minnesota got who?
Kevin Williams.
Yep.
Who was a good player. See,
and
all
Baltimore
three
was
of those
right
guys,
behind
look, Byron Leftwich may not have, you know, been a Super Bowl quarterback, but he's – none of those were flops. None of those were – I don't know, pick a name. Tony Mandarich. I mean, I could go through 8 million. The Jets had a few.
You always had the video every year of the Jet fans going insane, and it was like a 5-minute montage.
it was too good to be true, you know. And Mel with Lagerman and all of it. Just that made the draft fun back in those days. The Jets fans would go nuts if they drafted, you know, Joe Namath. I mean, just to pick a name, right? Well, what are we doing? We don't need a quarterback. You know, like, why? Because you can.
Yep.
Right? And it's funny that now let me take you back a little farther, then hit me with the questions. But here's what you guys might not even remember. In the 80s, until late 80s, and again, I don't know, you know, this was Tuesday at 8 a.m., because the draft was always held on a Tuesday because it wasn't on TV. And that's 5 a.m. if you're the 49ers or the Chargers or, you know, whoever. And they went 12, 17. I mean, they finished like at midnight. They did it all on a conference call or whatever they could do then. And so we're on the TV for the first like 10 hours in the 80s. Tuesday at 8 a.m. And that's when the draft used to be. And then when people thought it was good enough to go to Sunday, Monday on ESPN, like three rounds Sunday, and then I think they cut it down to 7 total by then, or maybe 8, I don't remember. And then the other 4 on the next day. And then now it's become this extravagance. But how about 5 a.m. making a pick on the West Coast? How about that, boys?
I mean, I can't even get out of bed, let alone make a pick at 5 a.m. That's no chance. I'm getting myself functioning. It's Chris Berman, the very familiar voice of the great Boomer NFL studio host. So here was the debate the other day. There is the tackle from Notre Dame in this draft, and his name is Joe Ault, A-L-T. So
yep.
Joe, his idea is Joe control Ault delete, being a tackle and deleting the opponent And so we're trying to figure out what goes into the process. Do you eliminate the alt? How does that all go? Or eliminate the control, rather. Take us inside the lab, if you will.
We're asking the master. Oh, we're asking God. The master here.
Yes.
Well, I love when it has something to do with what he's doing. All right, so let's start with that. I like that. Unless there's such a home run of a music, you know, like rock and roll song, that always, you know, tip the scales for me. There's no rules. It's a game everyone can play. That's the beauty of it, whether you drink only milk or whether you drink something else, if you follow me. So that's the beauty of it. I tried not to, as a rule, again, I use that word rule, I shouldn't, in the middle and afterwards, like either shove it all in the middle, which this wouldn't work. You could just go Alt-Delete, and the point would be made. You could use, which would be a reach, because I haven't thought about this at all, and it wouldn't apply as well as Alt-Delete, because I like the thinking in that. You know, it'd be like, for example, not this baseball, Royce Clayton, you remember shortstop Giants? I'm going way back.
Oh,
but
yeah,
he
sure.
was, because he played San Francisco. You could say Royce Aroney Clayton, the San Francisco treat, and it really fit. It wasn't that he played for Milwaukee, you know? So, but catapult.
You're spitballing. It's okay. Really, it's all right. It's great for us to get in the process and see what it's like.
We had one for you, Boo.
Well, here's the thing. If you deliberate more than a couple of minutes, put it down. And go back to it another day. Don't, this is not like Minnesota deliberating over the pick. Don't wait that long, right?
One more we wanted to run by you. Evan Wilner, our producer, came up with this one. Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. Rome wasn't built in Odunze.
That's pretty good. Tra-la-la Odunze. Rome wasn't built in a doze or a doze or wild. you know, that could be especially, that would be great on a 40-yard completion to him, right?
Like, yeah.
And look, a doze are wild, right? So a doze, he's a real a doze, you know. And Rome, you could have fun with, too. I mean, Rome... He could be a candle, Rome Candle Odunze. There's a lot. That's chock full of possibilities, that one.
Boom.
I mean, this is all on the fly, boys.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what we were hoping
for. That's what we were hoping for. And listen.
I mean, because, look, here's another thing. If you sleep with the rosters, that's how rumors start. And rumors don't need them, right? So, but back in the day, right, like when baseball really is what it started, but football kind of came on because you could do them under highlights and longer, and you could sing. I mean, we had a ton of them, you know, Steve Bono, I got do, 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 I got you, babe. You know, you could sing a lot of them under highlights. But I used to get lists in the 80s of like 50, and honest, I read them. And if I laughed at them, at one or two or five or whatever, they're on the air. You know,
wow.
Again, this isn't, it's not brain surgery. Let's not get carried away. But none of them were derogatory ever. Maybe a couple were taken that way, and I quickly changed it. Again, baseball, it's a while ago now. Kevin Bass, remember him? He was a pretty good outfielder.
Mm-hmm, sure.
All-star a couple of times. Houston and a bunch of other teams. And he's a great guy. And he would, Chris, can I talk to you about what? A nickname, I don't know. It's kind of derived. What do you mean? I called him Largemouth Bass. And he goes, it makes me sound like a complainer. I said, okay, I never looked at it that way. I gave it 10 seconds, and I was at the batting cage. I went, how about Smallmouth Bass? He goes, I like it. So,
Just a small little tweak will get it done.
It's all for fun. Music, food. You know, Burt Be Home, Bly Levin. You heard it as a kid, you're saying it as a parent, right? So, not genius. The best ever, I'll leave you with this. And again, I'm going back with baseball, but there's plenty of football, like our running back here for the Jets, Curtis, my favorite, Martin.
Yeah.
No way he ever saw that show. You know, that's you know way you ever saw that show. But for us, black and white TV, man, we watched it. But baseball, when one kid once said, this did happen once, I'll leave you with this. You know, Mr. Berman, of all the nicknames you've done, you know what I like the most? I said, what is it? Babe Ruth. I went, well, I can't take credit for that. It's a good candy bar, and I can't take credit for that either. Yeah, but it makes him sound like really cool, Babe Ruth. Kid was like nine, you know? I said, okay, thank you. That wasn't mine. Truth in advertising.
That's tremendous. Chris, thank you so much. It's always fun to hear you. Then thanks for popping on and clearing this up for us a bit.
Thanks,
yeah,
Bob.
I don't know that we cleared up Alt, that there's an alternate answer, obviously. But so good luck with the Jets and Giants in the draft. And, you know, whatever it is, it's fun. It just as you know, sometimes the fourth round pick, not to mention a seventh, it's the first at that position, right? Let's say they draft wide receiver. Oh, it's the first linebacker draft. So that guy can be an important player, even though it's day two and day three. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I learned in my years doing the draft. Even though I didn't study linebackers to number 250. Yeah, but it's your team's first linebacker that you drafted. So maybe that's an important thing. So you never know. The draft, unlike any other.
It's amazing what it's become. You're the best, Boomer. We appreciate it so much. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. He's just the best. We continue in moments on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
How about a little hockey for the people? Game 2 Eastern Conference quarterfinals. The Hurricanes are playing the Islanders. Very specific bet. First period, under 1.5 goals, -125. I really like the price here because in the first game between these two, we had 2 goals in the first period. So I think the price is coming out at a discount for us to go under. Go back to last year's opening round series. These two faced each other in a 7-game series. All 7 games went under 1.5 goals. In fact, 16 playoff games for the Hurricanes last year, under 1.5 goals in the first period, 12 times. 12 times, 75% of the time in last year's playoffs. Why? Carolina doesn't give up a lot of scoring. Number 3 in the NHL in goals against average. I think we're getting a discounted price because we got 2 goals in the first period in game 1. So let's fire the other way with a little zigzag theory in game 2. Hurricanes, Islanders, first period under 1.5 goals, -125.
Look at you. Look at you firing on all cylinders right now.
I always say that though. Carolina Panthers. Like I always get, that's one of those, we all have them. That's the one that always nails me. When I pivot to Carolina hockey, I always say the Panthers.
But I am also just, you say it because there's the Florida Panthers and there's that too, combined with Carolina. There you go.
They're both
I don't care
red.
About that. I care about you firing from every direction, coming out swinging on a Monday.
Yeah.
That's what I care about.
We're hot today. We've got hockey. We've got hoops. We had the day baseball. We won that one in 10 minutes.
Yep. That was the under Yankees A's game. First inning, under a half run. Joe hit it at minus 115. Sharp as attack. Let's roll. So he has been right out of the gate. We need to look at what's coming up this week, and I can't wait to talk about this more next hour and tomorrow too, just where we're headed on all of this draft betting.
Oh, I got to be honest. I told you guys this morning, I'm not going to lie to the audience. I got a few accounts that are already maxed out. Like, I got no room left. I got no room left. I've already just gone crazy with some of the draft betting.
Wow.
Crazy like a fox, though, because I expect them to win. Crazy like a fox.
I do not want to see you if things don't pan out. Washington, take Daniels.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.